This is the Dave Glover Show with Dave, Rachel, and Kevin. Sponsored by Michael's Flooring Outlet, the flooring experts. IGotFloor.com.
Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Happy Wednesday. Gorgeous day out there. Andrew will be back tomorrow. Last night was the wake and the funeral. And our boss, Steve Moore, who's been through this himself, insisted he take the day off, which is really good because that's one of the most exhausting things you can do.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the whole process.
I mean, especially following up the, like, she was pretty sick for about 3 weeks. So it was every day, a couple times a day.
Yes.
Not knowing what's going to happen, then the worst case. And then, yeah.
Just even entertaining the idea of going to work the next day.
I
couldn't.
I can understand some of the draw, right? Because you want to do something that feels normal.
Yeah.
Well, as opposed to.
He feels bad about not being here.
Right. He shouldn't.
I know.
Yeah.
Like, we're fine. We miss you, but it's okay. We're fine.
I was telling Amy this story, my other boss, when my dad died, I was back home here dealing with it. And a couple days later, the funeral, and then I stuck around for a little bit longer after. And my boss texted me to see how I was doing, but I could tell that he was just fishing to see when I was coming back to work. It was like this. Yeah, oh, I'm sorry.
Was that MR?
Yeah.
I knew.
He wasn't mean about it.
Okay.
But I could tell, like, yeah, man, I'll be back. I'm coming back in whatever day. It was like a week later I went back. It's fine. A week after the death, you know?
Yeah.
But I bet there are a lot of bosses like that out there who are like, yeah, I feel bad that your loved one passed away, but when are you coming back?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We need you. But they don't.
Can I tell you a hard thing I went through today? So I'm going to see my mom every day, usually a couple times a day. And just for anyone who doesn't know, she took a fall about a month ago, 6 weeks ago, and has been in 5 different facilities. Now she's in her permanent facility. And there's something called post-operative delirium. Because
mm-hmm.
my mom was, she was starting to, you know, lose some memories and things like that, but she was still living on her own. She was, you know, perfectly capable. And then the minute she fell, that was it. And then after the surgery, it was even worse. And Nick and I talk about when you visit, and anyone who has someone with any sort of delirium or dementia or Alzheimer's, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about, especially if it's fairly early on, because they tend to sort of even out. Mm. My dad did. And spent a couple years in just sort of a pleasant oblivion. Didn't know who anyone was, but he was a pretty happy guy. And my mom is still in that stage of in and out and mad about it and so forth. But today was rough because I've decided when she says things that are in her own little world, I'll play along.
Mm-hmm.
But if she says something important, then I need to say, well, no. And I think I made a mistake today because she said something about my dad. And does your dad know? And I said, well, Mom, you know, Dad passed away about 22 years ago. And a lot of times she'll say things like that about her mom and dad. And I'll say, well, you know, they've been gone for a long time. And she'll say, I knew that. I went to their funeral. I remember. But when I said that my dad was gone, her husband, she reacted like she had never heard it before.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And it was just really rough.
Yeah.
Because, you know, she's not faking it. She's not doing it performatively.
Right.
And she was just like, I saw it in her eyes. She experienced it all over again for the first time.
Yeah.
You're like, oh my God. Like what? It's such a cruel disease.
I wouldn't call that a mistake though on your part, because you can't know that until you see that happen.
Yeah, but I didn't expect
it. Now you know.
Now I know.
Right. So, I mean, that's definitely not something that you'd wear.
Yeah.
But it's still got to be terribly sad to see.
It's not the exact same thing, but my grandfather, he loved dogs more than people. And he used to have this one, and when he was going through it, the exact same thing. He's like, where's, I forgot which dog it was. He'd say, where is she? And they would originally say, well, she's gone. We had to put her away. And he would lose it. So eventually they just stopped telling
him. She's out back.
Because it's,
she's outside. Yeah.
It's really sad.
I don't know what you do, because I had a great aunt, the same thing. But every day she would ask for her husband, but like persistently ask. Mm-hmm. So you can only put it off and say, well, he's outside, he's not here. But every day, I know for a while, they eventually like were kind of telling her, and then she would experience it like your mom. And I don't know what you do if they're just persistent.
Right.
Well, like, where is he? Like, I need to talk to him now. And they don't buy it if you say, well, he's gone. I it's just like you said, it is so cruel. It's the cruelest.
She really seemed today, especially, to be about 20 years behind, because she said that. And then she said, how did I get so old so fast? And I said, well, you're 97. And she said, I had no idea I was that old.
Wow.
She said, I thought I was about 77. Yeah. Isn't it just the mind?
Yeah, that's wild.
Just crazy. And 6 weeks ago, she was okay.
That's always what has surprised
me. That can happen to your father-in-law, right?
Oh, my God. Yeah. That was, you know, we're not really entirely sure. Some of that may have been some of the medications that were being taken when he was dealing with pancreatic cancer, because they were giving some, I mean, they had all kinds of things going on. So we don't really know. But yeah, and it happened a little bit with my grandmother, too, where it was like, it's almost like a light switch. It's not gradual. Well, I mean, I guess it is a little bit, right, Dave? I mean, it's been kind of
for
gradual.
For different people, different ways, yeah.
But if you take a window and say a month ago, with whoever you're talking about, it's like a different person.
It is.
I mean, everybody's in the same spot. It feels like each one of us seems like we've had a similar story in some way, shape, or form.
Most people go through it.
I think so. Yeah. I think so. Even without a diagnosis of Alzheimer's or dementia, just age or post-operative
and
issue.
The aging of America, there are now more 65 and over people than there are kids.
Mm.
The upside down pyramid, we're going to be, healthcare in general is going to be dealing with this a lot, and healthcare workers, and it's just tough. Really tough. The facility she's in, I'm a fan of. I'm happy with it. The people are nice. The place is nice. But so much of the time, just so you know, like when you go through this, and if you're looking for a facility for your loved one, you know, the nice places love to show you the ice cream parlor and the beauty parlor and the bowling alley and, you know, all this kind of stuff. But then for most of the people there, like certainly everyone on my mom's floor, they're not going bowling. You know, they don't really understand that there's an ice cream parlor. It really is about that room and the people who come in that room and, you know, the weakest. It's like any other thing. It's like our show. It's like anything else. It's what's the weakest link? Who's the weakest link? And you can have wonderful people. And fortunate my mom's in a really good place, but not every place is. And the happy, shiny person who sells it to you is not the person who's going to answer the call button at 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the most important person. Anyway, the most consistent person I know is Wheeler. And I came in today. So Wheels and I got to go over and play baseball at Busch Stadium. And I threw the ball for the first time in 5 years. But it was fun, you know, I'm playing catch with my buddy at Busch Stadium. And I got all jacked up and I started thinking about playing baseball again. And Wheels knows some people who play like 40 and over, 50 and over, 16 over. I thought, okay, maybe I'm going to go talk to him. And maybe I'll be like a replacement guy or something, because I don't want to get deep into it. And I walk in and he's not in there. So I'm like, oh, I'll chill. I'll read the paper for a second. And then I hear him. And here's what he's holding court on. He's like, yeah, I'm fighting with people on Twitter.
Oh. I was talking to Steve at that time, I'm sure.
The guy pulled a suicide squeeze with bases loaded and one out. And I can't believe these total morons think that's a good idea.
Just said it to Ronji a little
while ago. It's never a good idea. Maybe a controlled squeeze, but never a suicide squeeze. And I'm like, I'm like walking out like there's a puma in the room with me. Just don't let him catch me.
When Amy and I got done with our show and walked into the office, he said everything word for word what you just said.
Yeah, yeah. Because exactly I said that to Steve, too. Well, you guys saw the game last night. I mean, like, if you saw that, like, thank you, Ron Washington. You helped the Cardinals win the game. And I got people online like, no, suicide squeezes are great ideas. Good, bunt, 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 bunt. Like, people are fetishizing bunts. Like, relax,
fetishizing.
Man. Fetishizing? They do. There's like a bunt.
I do love the bunts.
He wasn't like this before me.
No, ask Ronji. Ask Ronji. There's a bunt cult.
There is a bunt cult. I think they're dying. the bunt cult is dying away. But I remember
you're
when I was
braver
doing,
than me.
Well, I would. I'm not
when
that
was,
brave.
When I was doing post game shows, Jim Tomey.
Getting those now.
Jim Tomey, prolific Hall of Fame home run hitter. People were like, "Why doesn't he bunt more?" Because
he's Jim Tomey.
What do you mean, why is he not? But Ron Washington, the manager after the game.
Ooh, did you see that, Dave?
It's awesome.
I watched until we took over, then I went to bed.
Oh, did you? So you did today? You haven't seen what Ron Washington said post game?
No, I didn't even see the play.
Ron, do you want to deliver it?
It's actually, you want to hear it?
Oh, you got it?
I think, yeah, it's right here. If you want, it's really far away, so it's difficult for me to do. Oh, it's not on.
There you go. You have to like, have the right file.
No, it's on. It's just that we need to turn it up if we can have it up on the board so you can hear it.
Is that PC News 1?
I think it might be. I don't really know.
Probably.
Let's try it.
Okay, hold on.
It is not.
No, probably.
Anyway, but it's such a great, I love it.
So he's asked about the Suicide Squad. So again, it's bases loaded, one out. His number two hitter is in the lineup is up. And 1-1 count. Jojo Romero has been wild. He'd walked the previous two batters. He's throwing the ball all over the place. And they tried the suicide squeeze. The pitch was a foot outside and shin high. And the batter makes a really feeble attempt and misses. So the runner coming home on the suicide squeeze just tagged out. And then the batter strikes out on the next pitch. Well, after the game, the Angels media guys are asking Washington about it on the televised press conference. And he's like, well, he didn't do a very good job, but it wasn't my fault. And we're like, wait a minute.
That's honest.
Yeah, well, also, you put on the play, which is a super ridiculous low. Like, the analogy I gave would be like, that's like putting, you walk into a casino with $500 and you put it all on one spin. And that's what he just did right there. Like, you know, but, yeah, okay.
It was
you
the
might
way
win.
He delivered it,
it's
though.
The way, it's pretty yeah. funny.
I was like, he didn't do his job.
He didn't do his job. I didn't do anything wrong.
I don't think I've ever seen a manager say that. Talking about a player not executing, saying I didn't do anything wrong,
like awesome. It's so wild.
It's one of the best things I've ever heard. Yeah, it's not working, but it's so good. Have you heard a manager or a coach do that before?
Bluntly.
I think we've all heard coaches and managers like call out a player's performance
right.
and say like,
but not like I didn't screw
right, right.
up.
Berube would do it where he'd be like, we need more from 72 or we need more from whatever. But never once have I seen it, because that's clearly a play that involves a manager's decision, right? Yeah. This just wasn't an at-bat where he swung at a bad pitch. This was the manager decided to put on a really high-risk play, and then he's like, I didn't do anything wrong.
He didn't do his job. I didn't do anything wrong. I love it.
I think it's so good.
I mean, you just bet the mortgage on one spin of the roulette wheel. That's all. No big deal there.
See, people want more fire from Ollie. He got...
Yeah.
Ejected?
And by the way...
But what if he did that? What if he called out a player way?
If Ollie did that, he'd get destroyed. Right. Could you imagine that, the reaction here? It's funny, because when it's another guy's manager or another team, it's hilarious and funny.
You know,
when it's your guy,
really
you get so
hilarious?
Mad.
Rach, I think you've been watching some of these, the TikTok of the guy who reads lips.
Oh, John Boy is the best. Yeah.
Oh,
I went down a John Boy rabbit hole last night because you sent me that link.
Those arguments.
Did a Cardinals one. It was so funny.
They're so disappointing. They're so stupid.
They're so dumb.
I don't know what I expected.
Oh, no, it's mostly stupid.
Well, it really just teaches you like the dumb things you say whenever your emotions are that high.
Yeah.
Like, no one sounds smart whenever they're screaming.
That's
like
a
that.
Good... Well, man,
I
took that personally. No,
feels like right.
Whoa, dude,
she just subtweeted
you. No, she's right. She's right. When you get in that, there's no question it's going to sound dumb because you're talking about one silly thing like Aaron Boone. He's out there yelling at the umpire. What was his big thing? These guys are, what did he?
I kept saying tighten it up or.
No. He was yelling about his players.
I know what you're saying. Yeah.
I
know what you mean.
He's like, these guys are maniacs. They're maniacs. And it's like, what are you even talking about?
122 DGS on KMOX. We're going to end the show today. We're a long way away, but at about 4:45, we're going to end the show by playing a preview of Rachel's show for this weekend. She interviews Ray Hartman. And we should have done this before to give her some love, but we haven't. But we'll be doing that today. How did it go in general?
Really well. He's a very nice person. And
yeah,
we talked,
Ray forever.
Talked about, you know, his media career and then, of course, his upcoming run for Congress. So
I think we should talk about the Ann Wagner thing, because I think that people should know. So tell the quick story that you told us.
Well, Ray spent a lot of his time during our interview talking about Ann Wagner and pointing out, you know, what he perceives to be her faults and her feelings as a congresswoman. So I
this morning actually sent an email to one of her people asking if she could come on the show. And I said, I'm extremely flexible on time. Like, I didn't give any parameters. It was an open invite. And they did email me back, which I appreciate because a lot of people just ignore you. But they emailed back and just said, we can't do it. For an open-ended
See, that's
invite.
So wrong. This is KMOX.
Yeah.
KMOX is a big deal. When KMOX invites you on, not only should you go because it's smart, but you owe it to people. You are not a queen. Mm-hmm. You are not a leader. You're a representative. You represent people who need to hear from you, and you have a challenger. I find that so chicken crap.
And it can't be like, oh, I'm so busy because...
Yeah, she said any time.
Yeah, and Senator Claire McCaskill would come on all the time, yeah. And she was busy. Governor Parson, to his credit, will join KMOX, has joined our show, and he's busy. So you can't say, I'm busy all the time. I can make no time at all for you.
And I could see being like, okay, it's a weekend show. That's not worth my time. But she doesn't do the other shows on the station either. So
no. Does she do other stations?
Yeah, I believe
so.
She'll
do 97.1.
Oh, friendlier?
Yeah.
I think so.
Why don't you do the old bait and switch? Like, this is Rachel from 97.1. Just kidding.
You know one thing that this modern politics has done to me, and mostly Donald Trump, but there's a lot of it now. It's almost like waiting for that one true love, you know, that I've just never had someone who I was just super into politically and really passionate about and campaigning for and all that kind of stuff. And I always sort of lamented that I wish I would have been a little more political and really found my person, my man, my woman. After the sycophants I see for Trump and others, I don't want to ever be that person. I don't ever want to invest myself in a human being, no matter how much I may believe in that human being, to the point that I blind myself to everything else. That ship has sailed for me.
Yeah.
And maybe to my detriment. Maybe there will be someone who comes along and I should be that passionate about them. But I think that all they're going to get from me is my vote.
I don't know. I'll admit maybe I'm the weirder here, but I don't think that anybody should have that kind of devotion or passion for someone they've never met. But you should be. That's friends and family right there. I mean, that's and coworkers counting in that group of friends. That should be. If you have that kind of devotion to someone, it should be somebody you know, somebody that you care for, that you know cares about you, not just someone you're seeing make speeches on TV or going to rallies for. And I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Trump, Obama, Clinton, whatever, Bill Clinton, whatever. Because Bill Clinton had a little bit of that, right? He had a little bit of the,
sure.
You know, people were like, oh, I really like that guy. That's my guy. It never goes well, ever. They had that people. They had that. JFK had that, right? People was like, "It's Camelot." Yeah. Meanwhile, he's cheating on his wife behind the scenes, sneaking people into the White House. Like, it's never what you think. You got to reserve that kind of love for people you know.
How's it, you guys?
Well, I say the same thing about. I can't put my feelings and emotions behind a political candidate ever. They're there to do a job.
Mm-hmm.
They're not there to be idolized. They're not part of my personality or my persona. I don't care about them that way. I don't understand when one of them gets attacked, feeling like you personally are being attacked. And I feel like that very clearly does happen now with the former president. When people criticize him, a lot of people in the public think that they personally are being criticized for supporting him. And you're not. It's that guy is being criticized, not you. He is not you.
Yeah. And I do think like we tend to want to glom on to people as humans. It's in our nature because for politicians, yeah, it's weird. It's creepy. Don't do it. Also, people who identify with Taylor Swift, that's weird and creepy. You're not Taylor Swift. Or maybe like a quote unquote pastor / con artist like Joel Osteen. He's not your God. Like Trump is not your God. Joel Osteen's not your God. Taylor Swift is not your God. Like that is putting way too much of your selfhood into those individuals. It's weird.
I think that the thing that bothers me personally, not for what anybody else does, but for me, I don't want to elevate people. I don't care who you're talking about. I don't care if it's the president of the United States, Taylor Swift, whether they're not better than any single one of us. And by us, I mean anybody that's in the room or listening. They're nothing different than us. They just happen to have different jobs, maybe better jobs. Maybe they're better at what they do. But they are not to be admired and worshipped. They're just there to do a job.
But what if they're royal?
That's even worse. Kick them out.
134 DGS. We have our buddy George Rosenthal coming in today to talk about AI. Lots of new stuff to talk about. There's a new one that they programmed to deceive humanity. Well done, boys.
Oh, good idea.
And it lies its ass off. So now we know that's a thing. Coming up in the think tank, we have David Barklage and Kara Spencer. That should be a lot of fun. And then we'll end the show, like I said, with a preview of the Rachel Zimmerman show with Ray Hartman. Another day, another gut punch from TikTok. I'm really beginning to question my very core. remember yesterday it was child boxing.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not so much of that anymore. For some reason they think what I'm really into is stud horses. So it'll just be like, oh, here comes Big Sam and he's about to go hang out in the field with the ladies, and they let Sam out and he's like, and I guess I watched too long one time because now that's half my content.
Is there a...
I'm trying to think of a pattern.
Well...
Oh, I can give you one. There's a couple that jump out at you right away.
Do the videos, do they show the act?
No. Okay. They stop just short. And yeah, I think that's why I'm being inundated, because I had to know that.
Yeah.
I had to know how far the Chinese would go.
You let it run long enough, like, oh, yeah, see what happens.
I need to see how this thing is.
The algorithm's like, well, you stuck around.
Yeah, this guy's into it. Hey, Mel, we found one. This guy loves the stud horses.
You need to start just like searching for things. Like, go to your search bar and just type in drums or something.
Yeah.
20
yeah.
times in a row and just try to get yourself back on the straight and narrow.
That's what I thought I was doing when I said child boxing.
I really do. It kind of would be the best if the algorithm was really just a person assigned to you, and their job was to just watch everything that you were watching and Googling, and they go, oh, I know something this guy would like.
It would be really funny.
Like,
that'd
instead of a personal shopper, a personal,
just a personal algorithm.
It'd be really funny if they were into it enough that they're like, they contacted Wheeler, and they're like, we need you to be Glover's person. He's not going to know it's you.
Yeah.
Like child boxing.
You'd be getting a lot more fart pranks.
Stud horses.
He's looking that up again.
What was the other thing I had yesterday? Child boxing, and then there was another one. I can't remember what it was. It was just yesterday. Did you see that Illinois was named the most representative state of the union?
Really?
It has the closest racial breakdown, religious breakdown, economy, numbers, jobs, pay. You want to see what America's like? Look at Illinois.
Huh.
It is the most representative state of the union. That was interesting. And we're number 9.
That is interesting.
Yeah. It's funny because sometimes Illinois almost feels like two different states.
Oh, big time.
Well, there you go.
There's Chicago and then
yeah,
the
I guess
rest
that would
state.
Be pretty representative, yeah. wouldn't it?
Right. There you go. I mean, that's, yeah. That's the U.S.
Chicago is like New York, California, all the big cities.
It's the big cities.
And then the rest of Illinois is the rest of the United States.
Yeah, it's like Missouri.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you could take from Springfield south, make it Missouri, and it would fit right in.
Mm-hmm.
Where was I going to go with this? Do you guys see the kicker for the Chiefs?
Oh,
are you following this?
Yeah.
I won't play it because it takes him a long time to get to his point, but I think that I can sum this up pretty fairly. He was giving a commencement speech in his defense at a Christian college, and he basically was saying to all you ladies out there, you've really been lied to, and congratulations on your degrees. I know you worked hard, and you're thinking about promotions and being a CEO and things like that, but the lie is that you need to do more than be a mom, and I wouldn't be the man I am today. He kept referencing himself. Like, I've been blessed by God with so many talents. I'm like, shut up, beard man. And but he just kept talking about himself. Then he referenced how lucky he was because his wife found her true calling, her true vocation, being a stay-at-home mom. That's all you need to do. And they're calling for him to be kicked off the Chiefs.
Oh, no.
Oh, come on.
I mean, we can criticize him for being silly. I mean, it's such a Pollyannish thing when you're a multi-millionaire. How many of those women that he's speaking to will be in a household where they can just easily afford that? I mean, it's like, that's why it's such a ridiculous statement. Now, given the context of who he's speaking to, he's speaking to students that are at a religious school. That doesn't mean they're all devout, right? I mean, it's just where they chose to go to school. But at least it's not. He didn't do that at Mizzou, which would be a much weirder thing if you did that. But it's still kind of a...
Still, it's a weird opinion.
It's a very, very high horse opinion. Like, yeah, we're super wealthy and we can afford this path. And all that matters is she takes care of me and the kids. Well...
Good for you.
Okay. And how do families that don't have the freedom to do that?
And how does he know for a fact that she's feels fulfilled doing that and doesn't she have an advanced degree too?
I don't know.
I forgot what field it is, but also, so maybe deep down she would prefer to be doing whatever her degree has.
I think the thing is it's the authority with which he painted just like a big broad brush stroke, because I definitely think there are a lot of women who want to be stay-at-home moms.
Yes.
I was one of them. Like, it didn't work out for me, but I would be homeschooling 5 kids if you said what was your dream job.
Yeah,
that's what I would be. Now, it didn't work out that way, so I've done other things. Then there are just as many women who want to be lawyers and doctors and business leaders, and so you can say whatever you want to be, that's awesome, but it becomes really off-putting when you speak with authority like, well, this is all you need. Well, everybody's different, and there's a different path for every man and woman out there. He could say, like, it's been awesome for, you know, my wife who chose this path, and you guys are choosing whatever path you take. You just can't, it's just so off-putting when you speak almost, you know, condescending, going, I know what's better for all you ladies out there. Because... whether you want to be a lawyer or a stay-at-home mom, they are equally awesome paths if that's what you want. But for him to stand up there and talk down, that's what's off-putting.
Well, what's crazy is his mom is a medical physicist. His mom is at a university helping, like, she's a scientist. She is literally a doctor. And he's saying the best thing a woman can do is not what my mom did. That's a lot, isn't it?
It's just like it's the absolute statement of it and the broad brushstroke. That's what makes it off-putting.
Such a weird thing to say when your mom is what she is. And he grew up in a wealthy home. And, you know, I mean, like, again, nothing wrong with any of that. And like Amy said, nothing wrong with being the mom that wants to stay home and raise kids. My wife did it. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with either path is the point. If you have a goal to do something, I mean, think about all of the achievements that would not have happened if every woman was just like, nope, you have to just stay home and raise kids.
He also said Pride Month was demonic.
Mm. Oh, yeah. That too.
So
we're on the demons thing.
He was on a roll, is what you were saying.
Yeah. He was on a roll.
Well,
he's on something.
Yeah, you know, I'm not one of those people who feels like if you are in sports, you should just stick to sports. But some people should just stick to sports.
You want another controversy?
Oh, buddy.
Tacos or sandwiches?
No.
According to who?
A judge in Indiana.
Oh, really? It's legal now?
There's now been a legal finding. Some guy wanted to get his taco stand into a mall that I guess is only zoned for sandwiches. Who knew that was a thing? But he argued that the tacos are sandwiches, and they took it to court, and the judge agreed tacos are sandwiches.
That judge is an idiot.
Well, I don't know, man.
Then pizza's a sandwich.
I'm not doing the hot dog thing.
Pizza's just an open-faced sandwiches then. I mean, that's what it is.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, what makes something a sandwich then?
Well, you're
bread.
You've got
a bread-like substance.
You got two things, whether it's bread or corn, and you're sandwiching.
All right, so then we have open-faced sandwiches too. Open-faced turkey sandwich.
Fancy pants.
Pizza's just an open-faced sandwich.
Yeah, that would be arguable. Or if you fold it over.
So then, I'm out.
That's the fastest I've ever seen you give up.
Well, I'm not giving up. I just I feel like that's an easy victory. Everything's,
I like it.
You're either everything's a sandwich or, you know, whatever.
But what sort of ordinance is that? That you can only have sandwiches.
Yeah.
Sandwiches
specific. This is a no taco zone.
Yep, no burgers.
There's also a study done, which, again, we didn't need this one, where kids sit on the bus. Like, the front are anxious kids. The kids in the middle are just trying to make it to school, and the kids in the back are like your future troublemakers. Like, hey, thanks for that, Ace. I've never been on a bus.
You could have told me. You could have asked me that when I was 10, and I would have told you that.
I tried to sit in the exact mathematical middle. Just stay out of everyone's way.
Yeah.
What does it mean when you're on Southwest and you pick your seat on that plane and you want to get up front?
Interesting.
Because I just resigned myself that I'm never going to sit in the front, right? Because I don't.
Because of the grouping, yeah.
I never get the A group.
That's the most Chris Ronji thing ever.
Right? I'm not going to get there. It's fine. I'm not.
I'll just sit in the back.
But you know what I do? I don't like the middle either. I go all the way to the back.
Why? Is it
I don't know.
Because
I feel like
closer?
It's going to take long to get out of here anyway.
I agree with you, Chris. It's just like, might as well. I'll just sit in the very back and chill and watch everyone else get off the plane first.
Unless you're in the first 10 rows, you're not getting out much earlier than everybody else.
No.
I like the front of the plane because of the ride. The back is like bumpier, and if you're a little sensitive to motion sickness, being closer to the front or middle, I find more comfortable.
I like the people on Southwest who are in D, but as soon as they announce A, they get up there and they start trying to crowd in.
Get into their spot, even though you got your own little zone.
Yes.
You're like 28 through 27.
What do you not get about this?
Yeah, it's not hard.
Southwest is talking about going to ticketing, like on United, Delta.
That's fine.
Do they lose their charm if they do that?
Not if they're still cheap.
Yeah, are they going to raise prices
that
way?
No, but I mean, like, they don't charge for your first bag, do they? Everybody else charges for everything.
They don't charge for your bag anymore.
I thought it was two bags.
First bag.
Whatever. Either way, that was one of the draws.
But they're not that cheap anymore.
Yeah.
I would have to be going on an African safari to check one bag.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, you carry on straight. No.
No, I'm going to Colorado with the kids for a week and a couple days in June, and I'll take a book bag.
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
I just usually I get a big old backpack. Yeah.
You do a personal item only?
It is my carry-on, but I don't do like a roller carry-on.
Right.
Okay.
You know how many t-shirts and shorts I can fit into one book bag?
I have a backpack and
you see how I dress?
Clothes smushed down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
What are we going clubbing or something?
Yeah.
I love doing carry-on only, but sometimes you can't make it work.
Every time you can.
Yeah.
About skiing when all your stuff's puffy?
Who skis?
Right. Plus, you can always rent that stuff.
Yeah. There
you
go. I don't
want to rent pants.
See, I only rent pants.
They're like an extra.
Right,
they're actually pants under those pants.
These are a week late that I'm wearing right now.
I rent underpants.
Boy, do they not want these back. Hello, Glover account 573, trade my pants in. Man, I used to get excited renting a tux from Castelli's.
Yeah?
That was a big deal. Rite of passage, going to the prom and stuff like that, being in a wedding.
Yeah. I never even thought about the fact that they don't get washed. They're only dry cleaned, which means, who's the comedian? Says it, if you're only dry cleaning, that means it's dirty.
Really?
Yeah, because
I'm
not using water.
I don't understand dry cleaning.
I don't either.
Sometimes
I thought it was just chemicals.
That fresh.
I don't even know
what they do.
Boy, Ann Wagner and dry cleaning are taking it on the nose and the DJ.
Yeah, no doubt. Take that.
Which one's worse?
Go get your suit pressed.
I'm Scott Jagow. This is KMOX, the voice of St. Louis.
153 DGS. Here's that sound I haven't heard it yet. It's Ron Washington from the Angels defending his call for the suicide bunt.
It wasn't anything I did wrong. He didn't do the job.
There's my next tattoo.
It's
kind of love that guy.
I mean, honest to God, he is a really likable guy. He's funny. He's a great interview, but man, that's a bad moment.
So you're saying even if he had executed the bunt perfectly and they scored, you still don't think it's a good decision?
You're reducing the number of runs you'll be able to score in that inning and therefore bringing down your run expectancy by giving up the out.
Okay. Yeah, what he said.
Yeah.
I mean, the math, so the math on it.
If you're playing one run, it's maybe fine, but if you're playing for a bigger inning, which they should have been.
Right, but it's also.
It's not good.
But the circumstances are this. You got JoJo Romero out there who throws 95 plus, who's been wild. He walked the two guys before that. And you're in a 1-1 count. The last thing you want is a hard-throwing guy who's wild when you're putting on it. Now, if it's like Kyle Hendricks or Miles Mikolas is one of the biggest strike throwers, it makes a lot more sense. Because you know Mikolas is going to be around the strike zone, but he gets a pitch that's a foot off the plate and shin high. That when you add it all together is why it's dumb. But even if it was Miles Mikolas, it's not a good idea.
What did people across baseball think?
Most baseball people are like, it's horrific, except for people on Twitter that are in the bunt cult.
There aren't that many.
No,
like I
but
said,
they're vocal,
they're,
man.
They're dying.
They all call Matt Pauly on the postgame show.
Yeah. Say that three times fast. Poor Matt.
I know.
Poor Matt.
Some days.
Oh, yeah, I'm not listening to this. I'm not listening to poor Matt Pauly.
Well, some days I feel for him.
Hey.
You listen to some of those postgame and you're like, you know, all they need to do is bunt more.
Yeah,
like, really?
This guy, though. This
I did
guy.
It for a team that was dog nuts for
yeah,
10
that's
years.
That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah,
in Chicago.
And they were angry.
Did you have the bunt cult there, too?
Oh, Jim Thome.
Oh, the Jim Thome. Yeah, yeah.
Jim Thome should bunt.
Really? Just got to play more small ball.
That's a very specific fetish.
Oh, dude, they're into it too, man. I wonder what their algorithms get them on
same as
TikTok.
Mine.
Yeah,
it's the horse.
It's just all these people.
The horse guy.
The horse studs.
Oh, this horse should bunt.
And the occasional patriotic decoration.
Yes. See you guys.